Hello,
And welcome to Well-Fed Woman Wednesday. I'm so glad everyone is here. So we are moving right along in Healthify. For those of you, good morning, who don't know who I am, I am Coach Christy. I am a pharmacist. I am a certified life coach, certified menopause coach, and a functional nutritionist. So I actually helped Corinne write Healthify. And for those who don't know what Healthify is, perfectly fine. If you are past your 90 days, your first 90 days, Healthify is going to be, it's our nutrition course that we just rolled out for No BS. You can find it at No BS, excuse me, at on the website, nobswomen.com. It is this month in No BS, or if you go to courses and you scroll down, you will see Healthify. And that's all you have to do is click on it and start it. If you are new to No BS, you're in your first 90 days, Healthify will be available to you after your first 90 days. So you're not missing anything. We just want to make sure that you are starting with the No BS weight loss course and the other courses in order so you can best apply Healthify. So it will be available to you. Do not worry about that. Good evening from Spain. I see that it's morning here, but yes. I see that you're tuning in from everywhere, all over the world, and that just makes me so happy. That's so cool to me. Just a quick recap of last week when we talked about protein. I had seen in the Facebook group how much protein had helped people, and they were noticing that they weren't snacking as much and all that. So drop some of that in the chat and let's see. I told you I would check back in with you. So let people know how protein specifically, what you notice the most about protein. And this week hey Audrey, we are moving on to carbs and fat. So that is what we're going to be talking about today. I don't see any questions yet, so y'all go ahead and start loading those into the Q&A. So we can actually get down to talking to some of this, and so I can start answering your questions. So go ahead and put me some questions in there. But until then, I'm going to talk a little bit about carbs and fat because I think both of them kind of got a bad rap. Be it low carb, Atkins, or fat free with the snack wells and stuff like that. We just got a lot of misinformation. I think maybe it made sense at the time, but now looking back, it doesn't make as much sense. Yes, our brains run on carbohydrates. That's what it, glucose is its preferred fuel. So it makes sense that when you cut back on carbs that you get a little brain fog and stuff like that. Yes, and when I myself was low carb, and I think I told you before, I felt okay. Yes, I was losing weight. Makes sense. If you cut out a whole food group, that you're probably eating less, and so you're gonna lose weight. But we don't restrict around here. We don't cut out food groups. We find out what works best for our bodies. Chicken, someone said, why are chicken thighs supposedly bad for you? I don't think chicken thighs are bad for you in any way, and that kind of leads into this week. Chicken thighs do have a little bit more fat as opposed to the chicken breast. So I think that may be why some people are like, oh, don't do chicken thighs because they have a little bit more fat. But know that that fat is actually what's going to hold you longer. We'll talk about different types of fat as well. So I don't think there's anything to fear as far as that goes. But like I said, we were kind of taught and kind of getting back to the carbs fueling our brains. That's exactly what we want. And that's kind of the reason that when you go low carb or whatever, that you feel that brain fog. Yes, you get in, you're not as hungry sometimes, but that makes sense because you're taking out carbs and guess what's left? The protein and the fat. And we are learning that both of those things together actually hold us longer. So it made sense that maybe you were lower carb and you weren't, feeling as hungry, but your brain essentially was starving. You didn't have the get up and go. You didn't have the energy. to do things. You know, I've seen in the Facebook group, in the exercisers group, how some people were like, "Oh, I'm so out of shape. I couldn't even do, you know, a full workout." And I felt really bad afterwards. Well, were you out of shape, or did you not fuel your body properly beforehand? I have been there myself. And I'm just letting y'all know, go ahead and start putting in some questions for me, because they're coming in, but I need some more, because we're here for an hour. But yeah, if you're not fueling your body properly, again, carbs are going to be for our brain, our muscles, just energy, all that type of stuff. And if you're not doing that as well, then it makes sense that your body's not going to respond to, especially when you are, you know, kind of pushing it, if you're lifting weights or something like that. So it kind of makes sense that you may feel a little bit weaker if you're not fueling with those carbs. So we are no longer going to be scared of carbs. We are going to level up our carbs, just kind of get into it. Yes, there's, if you haven't gotten to this point in Healthify, that's perfectly fine, but there's two different types of carbs. We've got simple carbs and we've got complex carbs. And it does kind of matter when it comes down to it. I don't want you restricting carbs, but I will tell you that they're different. So your simple carbs are going to be like your cookie, your sugar, your sodas, stuff like that. They burn, it's quick energy. Your body burns through it really quick. And whereas the complex carbs, they are going to be, I think Corinne, as Corinne said it, you know, the simple carbs are like paper on a fire. It's going to burn quick. And then the complex carbs is like throwing a log on the fire. It's going to be a slower burn. That's your brown rice, your all of your whole grain breads, your sweet potatoes, stuff like that. That's going to give you the sustained fuel over time. But it's perfectly fine to mix the two. I would like to say that the simple carbs, you know, if we're going 80-20, I would like that to be more of the 20%. And the complex carbs to be more of the 80%. But no matter what, I just want you kind of leveling up. Maybe you're eating a lot, you notice, and you're like, I'm eating a lot of, you know, processed foods. I like cookies. I like soda. I like all that. We're just going to start leveling it up with a little bit more, like a 1% more complex carb. So the questions are coming in, but I wanted to talk just a little bit more about fat, because I've gotten some questions about that too, and we're kind of comboing fat and carbs today. Chris, and they're like, Christy, if I eat fat, is that gonna like make me fatter? Like I'm trying to lose weight. I don't want to eat fat and it to settle out on my body. That is not exactly how this works. When you eat fat, it's a fuel. Yes, it is a kind of a nutritionally dense food. Fat, it, you know, packs a lot in a small amount. So again, the plate method, we're just going to use our thumb. The thumb size portion is your fat, whether that's like a pat of butter or about that much oil. And we're not going to overdo it. It's not like anything like that, but it belongs on your plate and it's not going to make you fat. Just know that. What does kind of make fat in our body is just excess fuel, excess food that has to be stored. That's what makes fat, not eating fat per se. So, all right, I hope all that makes sense. And if you have any more questions, you know, feel free to go ahead and start putting them in the Q&A, but I'm going to get started. Jen, how do we get away from this, from the scared mindset, the carb mindset? I'm guessing that you're just like, because you've probably either restricted carbs or low carbs, or you know, someone told you carbs are gonna make you gain weight. And that, I get that, because we were kind of told that. And even in the diet culture, everything was low carb, keto, stuff like that. So the way that you can kind of get away from that mindset is you're gonna have to prove to yourself by slowly leveling it up. And just eating some of those carbs and showing yourself, hey, it I can eat this and it doesn't equal the result of, you know, me gaining weight. But with that, I don't want you, taking that and being like, okay, well, I can eat potato chips and I can eat ice cream and I can eat like only straight carbs and sugar, because that's not what we're saying. I'm saying just show yourself by leveling up whatever carb it is that you choose that you can eat it. And any of this and all of Healthify, we are still using the four basics and doable hunger. So you're still only going to eat the carbs and stuff when you're hungry, and you're going to stop at enough. And then just show yourself a mindset is just the way that you think about something. So when you can show yourself and start thinking a little bit differently, like, oh, I'm actually eating this to fuel my brain. I'm eating this to fuel my workout. I'm going to see how I feel with this. So that's kind of what will help you to, prove it to yourself, and that your mindset will slowly, it's not going to happen overnight, but it will slowly start changing. Sue, what do you know about allulose sugar substitute? This is my preferred sweetener. Is this considered a simple carb? Because it's not as sweet, I use it more. My understanding is that it does not affect the blood sugar levels. What is your opinion on allulose? Okay, good question. I myself have never used allulose. I do know that it's a lot of people that do use it. I'm kind of sensitive to certain sugars like that, or stuff like that. I don't see anything wrong with trying it and seeing how it works for your body. It's kind of, there's other ones like Splenda and stuff like that, and people use stevia, monk fruit. All of those are just different sugar substitutes, and you're going to have to see how it works in your body. Some, you said it, your understanding is it does not affect the blood sugar levels as much. I wore a like a blood glucose monitor for 90 days just to see how certain foods worked in my body, and I can tell you that I used Splenda, I believe. This was a while ago, and it did not have any effect on my blood sugar levels, meaning it did not cause me to release insulin. But that is different for everybody. So, that's something that you can kind of check out. But I don't see a problem with using allulose, and I know a lot of people that do. Tammy, Corinne's fat sheet list helps a lot, but aren't there bad fats we should stay away from such from as much as possible? And I hear bad about seed oils. Is there any truth to that? Okay, so I'm glad you asked this, Tammy, because yeah, there are different fats. So mainly, and what Healthify goes into is we have unsaturated fats, which are going to be the best of the fats, in my opinion. If you had like good, better, best, that's going to be like your olive oil, the your nuts, the avocado, stuff like that. And then you have saturated fat, which got kind of a bad rep as well for a little bit, but it's not awful. We want to limit them, but that's like your butter, your full fat dairy, stuff like that. You can limit those. But I cook with butter. That's what I choose. I actually cook with olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, and butter. Those are mine. Yes, I've tried the other stuff, but those are what I choose to cook with. And I just, again, we're going to do the thumb size amount. The ones that the fats that I kind of do want you to just be very mindful of is the trans fat. And trans fat are like man-made fats. It's like Crisco, margarine, stuff like that. You just want to, those need to be probably your 20%, and just limit those, because they have shown to cause like some stuff in our body that is just not as good. So we want to kind of limit the trans fats as much as possible. And you'll see those as like hydrogenated fats. A lot of in America now, we've re removed a lot of trans fats. So we don't have, it'll say like trans fat free. They make sure that they know, people know that, because they used to use trans fats and now they don't. So, and as far as the seed oils, there is a lot of data on that. I personally don't use a lot of seed oils just because I use extra virgin olive oil. So I would say that do your research on those, because sometimes they say the seed oils are thing because it's a seed oil or because it has saturated fat or whatever. We're just going to try to level that up. All right. Sorry, I don't know if my, can y'all hear me? Someone give me an emoji. All right, yes now. Okay, thanks, Laura. Sorry, I don't know what blipped out, but I apologize about that. Sue, also monk fruit. Okay, yeah, I answered that about monk fruit. Monk fruit is a great sweetener. It just has a little bit of a different flavor, in my opinion. But if you like that, I think that is definitely something that you should try. All right. Alyssa, I feel that every time I have bread, like sandwiches for lunch, that I make it either sourdough or Dave's Killer Bread. I think both of those, that's not, I don't see a question, but just want to kind of double check. I think both of those are great options. Corinne's favorite is the Dave's Killer Bread, and that's just going to have, first of all, it's going to have more protein. It's going to have whole grains. It's going to have fiber. So that is going to be more filling, and it's just going to be probably like a, it's going to be a complex carb as opposed to a simple carb like the white bread. Sourdough. There is a, I love sourdough personally. I have always liked it, but sourdough is just because it is fermented. It has that added extra that is going to be kind of better for our gut as well. So I think both of those, Dave Killer Bread and sourdough, are great options. Okay, Veronica, it seems there is always a new product for gut health, like probiotics, juice cleanse, and all that. Now there's one talking about putting hydrogen gas in the gut. Do you have any opinion on gut health in general? Or are these just extras or necessary? Okay. I have not heard about the hydrogen gas in the gut. That's just something I'm sorry, I can't speak to that because I haven't heard about that. I will say that your they say your gut is your second brain, and it is very important that our guts are working properly, not only for digestion, but just for general health. So I am not opposed to prebiotics, probiotics, stuff like that. But you can get those through the foods you eat as well. Anything that is fermented is gonna help with our gut, just naturally. I like some yogurts are gonna have the prebiotics and stuff like that. So if you're eating kind of like the health the far way and getting those vegetables and maybe just leveling up with some type of fermented food or yogurt or something like that, you will get those good gut healthy prebiotics, probiotics in your stomach. If you do want to supplement with that, that is perfectly fine as well. I know a lot of people that do that. Yes, Laura said our gut is where our immunity lives. That is 100% true. Like, well, it lives other places too, but the majority of it comes from our gut. The majority of our serotonin, our, feel good hormones and all that come from our gut. So we do want to make sure that we are, keeping everything healthy, and fiber is going to help with that as well. So like I'll say, a good supplement, you could just, again, I'm going to tell you kind of to do your research or go to the Facebook group and ask. There are a lot of different probiotics out there. Just kind of take a look and make sure it's a reputable brand. But yes, I think that it is important. Gut health is important, but I don't necessarily think that you have to go out and pump your stomach with hydrogen gas or anything like that. I think that we can eat a lot of it. Back before there were all these supplements, people were healthy, and they're, dare I say that their guts were probably even more healthy than now. But yeah, check that out. And I personally take a, I think it's a probiotic, just one that's in with one of my vitamins. So, and then I do eat yogurt and I try to eat fermented foods like kefir, the I think that's how you say it. This a liquid, it's like a liquid yogurt that has a lot of fermented stuff in there. I can mix that in with smoothies and stuff like that. So just check that out. Sue, are we talking about the full width and length of the thumb? This is confusing to me because I use olive oil. Okay. Olive oil distribution to avocado serving. Okay, I will explain that. So that is a great question. So yes, it's just like, and it's kind of a little bit of guesstimation, but like if you were to do the your thumb, we're not like going all the way down here, just your thumb this much, and the length and the width. So that like when you're talking about, let's say nuts, that's probably going to be about, for me, about maybe five almonds, butter. You know, if you were just to cut off a tab of butter, you know, oil, just what you would think, that's probably about what, a tablespoon, maybe 2 teaspoons of oil. Don't get too tripped up on it. But that's just a way that you can kind of cheese. Cheese is a great one. Like you can determine how much cheese that is. Just look at your thumb and it's about that. But if so long, if you're cooking with it, I can see how it's like it spreads out and it would be harder. But yeah, don't get, just try to guesstimate because they're like Darlene says, there's no restrictions and no BS. See how much it takes to cook. I just don't want you saying, oh, well, Christy said I need to get my fat in, and you just, you know, going to the other side where you're eating like, you know, too much fat. Let's just kind of be mindful and kind of guesstimate. So Laura says sauerkraut and kimchi are good fermented foods. Yes, I don't love sauerkraut, but I do like some different types of kimchi. Those are great for, and that's great gut health. All right, Alyssa. Sorry, she hit send by mistake. When I have a healthier bread, I still go up on the scale and get scared, and I can't have any more. I have rice and quinoa bowls and feel the same. Okay, so when you have limited your carbs for a long time, your body has kind of learned to run without them. And then when you go, just like with anything, when you have limited or restricted them and you add them back, your body is going to have to go through an adjustment period. So that's why the 1% level up works like across the board. When you're adding them back, I want you just at 1% level up as you add carbs back, because I don't want you, like your body is going to go through a period that it has to adjust, just like it adjusted when you took them away and maybe you had headaches for a little bit and brain fog and stuff like that. It's going to adjust again when you add them back. So give yourself that time, and maybe it looks like knowing that the scale might go up a little bit the first week, but what I don't want you doing is blaming the carbs. But what really you're doing is you're like, well, I already messed it up. You know, I know. I mean, I knew I couldn't eat pizza and see, perfect. And then you go ahead and say, well, I've already ruined it, so I might as well go ahead and have the cinnamon roll too. And then, you know, and then it kind of you're overeating over and overeat. You know, that MJ said it the best. It's not the one or two chips that you had. It's the stuff you had after beating yourself up because you had the chips. So just make sure that that's not going on as well. And I'm not saying that's exactly what you're doing, but I would just slowly add those carbs back in, preferably the complex carbs, and just see how it does, because you're going to prove to yourself, because I was the same way. I was low carb and I added it back and I gained 5 pounds and I was like, this is not going to work for me. But I stuck with it and my body adjusted. So just keep like 1% level up of adding in the carbs again. Okay, Betty, I started the estrogen patch and progesterone a month ago. After the first 2 weeks, I noticed more hunger. I hadn't changed the way I was eating, so I believe it's related to starting the hormones. Do you think they are related? I think Healthify could help me address the extra hunger, but not sure where to focus. Okay. So again, this is just your body kind of regulating. And yes, when you start hormones or HRT, you do have, our bodies have a tendency to hold on to water, and it shifts water back and forth. A lot of what you're seeing is probably just the water weight gain. But if your hunger is truly going up, it could be your body just regulating to the to now that you have estrogen. That is not necessarily a bad thing. That is your body kind of getting back to sending signals correctly. And at first, it may kind of misfire hunger, because it's just trying to get things regulated again. What I want you doing though is just checking in with yourself, making sure that it is true hunger and it's not that your body feels a little bit different. Because sometimes when you start HRT, you can feel a little different. Like it's just like maybe you feel a little bloated, maybe you feel some people get a little tired with progesterone. Just make sure that it is truly hunger and it's not something else going on that may be masking as hunger. So yeah, that's, I think just giving yourself the time, and I think eating the way that Healthify says with the hand method and the plate and all that definitely helps with hormones, because again, our hormones are made from fat. That's the way that our body makes hormones. And if we're not providing it with enough fat, then it can't make what we need. So I to answer that part of the question, I do think that Healthify could do that, and it could help you address the extra hunger as well. Because if you are getting protein, fat, and carbs, vegetables on your plate at every meal, just like I saw it a million times in Facebook this week, I increased my protein and I wasn't needing as many snacks. So yes, it can help with that hunger. So I want you trying to do that and just seeing. And then we're still going to ask ourselves every time we hear that inner voice, am I really hungry? Because again, hunger, true hunger, is not an emergency, and it kind of comes on in waves. Whereas if it's an urge, it's like, I need it and I need it now. So just differentiating between those two, and when you know that, hey, I have taken the time, I have fueled my body well, there's something to that as well. You're not second guessing. Am I really hungry? Well, no, I know that I did this and this and this. And what is it that I need right now? Because if I'm not hungry, I don't need food. So that's another thing that you could check in. But I definitely think doing Healthify can help with hormones as well. Darlene, yes, margarine over butter. I sort of stopped using margarine. Yes, I don't use margarine anymore. I did, or I can't believe it's not butter or whatever was the thing. But I do, I personally use butter over margarine. So, all right. Your part about seed oils cut out right as the important part. Okay, so yes, I will. Sorry about that. So seed oils, I will just say that seed oils are different in different bodies. So a lot of there are some people that will notice that seed oils don't work as well for them based on what their body, like if they have like autoimmune disorders and stuff like that. But I would say to just check and see. I'm not telling you to go out and throw away all the seed oils in your house or like that. But there is some data on there that they may not be as good as they once claimed. I myself use extra virgin olive oil. I do sometimes use coconut oil if I'm frying something at a higher temperature, because it has a higher what they call smoke point. So it's gonna allow you to get the heat up a little bit without actually burning the oil. But coconut oil is a saturated fat as well. So see what how they work in your body. Seed oils don't necessarily bother me at all, but like I said, I have chosen to use extra virgin olive oil just because I do think that it does better in my body and I feel good with it. So, Debbie, is there a better extra virgin over another? I heard glass bottle for one, which are okay. So I do like to store my oils in glass. That's just my preference. And I also like to store them in the cabinet away from light, because UV light does break oils down. That's not to say that it messes them up, completely and all that, but I think that You don't want them to break down quicker. So I just store it in glass and I put it up in the cabinet. Someone asked about MCT oil in coffee. I think that that is, I used to do that and for, I probably ran out of MCT oil and just kind of stopped doing it. I do know that putting it in there, start with just a little small amount because it can sometimes create a little bit of GI problems with the caffeine and the fat altogether. But I don't see a problem with it. I think MCT oil is a great, I call it a supplement because in that respect, you're not getting it through your food. But yeah, you do have to kind of watch the, I went kind of hardcore the first time that I did it in my coffee and I was in the bathroom. So just again, kind of watch that a little bit. But yeah, I think that's great. Anonymous, do you recommend a specific multivitamin and probiotic for women? Great, great question. And I do, I can tell you what I take personally from my own being a pharmacist and everything else like that. I take a methylated multivitamin. Why do I take that? Because that is the most, what's called bioavailable. It is ready for my body to absorb it. I don't have to break it down in any way. Well, I do. I mean, it has to digest, but it is going to go and it is going to start working for me pretty quickly, as opposed to some of the other, like Centrum and ones that aren't necessarily methylated or as easily absorbed. Sometimes those pass all the way through our body and they never break down before we excrete them. So we just want to make sure that we are taking something that is absorbable in our body. Probiotics for women. A lot of that is marketing. There are different probiotics that help with different areas of our body. So there's ones that, you know, work more so for the urinary tract. There's ones that work more so in the colon, that work, you know, in the intestines. So kind of do your research on that. If you're looking just for like a broad, you know, it doesn't have to be specific to a certain thing. You can use one that's not like I take, I think it's, I want to say it's either Physician's Choice or Physician's Formula. I forget exactly. It's just one that I found that work that doesn't have to be refrigerated. For me, that's important because if I don't see it out on the counter, I sometimes forget to take it. So, but find one that works for you. And so long as it's a reputable brand, I'm perfectly fine with it. I don't love the marketing aspect of it being like women's only because probiotics work kind of the same in a man's body or a woman's body. There are specific ones that do help with women when it comes to hormones in our urinary tract, though. So that is worth looking into. Anonymous, I don't drink dairy, milk or dairy. It upsets my stomach. I'm taking 1200 milligrams of calcium with D3. I'm hearing taking calcium and other supplements aren't good. I'm so confused. Yes, a lot of the information out there is confusing. So I understand why you're confused. Calcium is a great supplement if you're not getting it through your foods. And milk and dairy are the ones that are kind of highest in calcium. There are other, like strawberries, I think are high in calcium. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that, you know, there are other foods that you can get calcium in. But as far as taking it as a supplement, I don't have a problem with that. I take calcium at night. That's just something because I want to continue with healthy bones, and there is some osteoporosis in my family, and that's not something that I want to do. So I supplement with calcium. Know this, you say you're taking 1200 milligrams with D3. That is great. The D3 helps to absorb it a little bit more, but we can only absorb about 600 milligrams of calcium at the time when we take it in our body. So I want you splitting that dose, taking half of it, 600 milligrams in the morning, preferably with food, and then 600 milligrams at night with food. And I hope that clears up some of your confusion. I think there's nothing wrong with supplementing it if you're not getting it through your food. Okay. Sue, this is not necessarily a healthify question. Have you seen women who are taking Zoloft have an increased leg swelling and or hot flashes? That one, not off the top of my head. I don't think that that is a common side effect with Zoloft, but that's not to say that it's not doing it, because I have seen, I've been in pharmacy for a long time now. I have seen side effects that were the medication that weren't like in the top five listed. So I would just take notice of it. If you're having the increased leg swelling or hot flashes, because you started a new dose or you upped your dose, that is something to definitely talk to your doctor about. Some of the SSRIs like Zoloft are actually prescribed during menopause to help with hot flashes, although some of them, like Prozac, for example, is notorious for causing sweating. So it's one of those things you're gonna have to kind of see how your body does. But I would say if it's bothering you on a day-to-day basis, and affecting your quality of life, I would definitely talk to your doctor, because it could be that that's what's doing it. Jen, you coached me last month. I'm on thyroid medication for hyperthyroidism. I lost a lot of weight prior to the medication. Now I'm up 9 pounds and can't seem to get it back off. Also on tirzepatide. My thyroid levels are right on point now. Okay. I remember you, Jen. And I think your body is probably still trying to figure things out. I know that you had just, I think, hey, I had, you had just started on the thyroid, I believe, before. And now with the tirzepatide too, your body may trying to be regulate stuff. You started in October. Okay. So it can take, like I said, like up to 90 days. But if it's been longer than that and your levels are good, I want you kind of looking at what may be going on. So it sounds like you lost prior because you were hypothyroid. So you lost prior and now you're up 9 pounds. Let's see, is there any emotional eating going on? Is there any, like, are you eating from true hunger, or are you stopping at enough? Like all of those type things, just take like an overall broader picture of what may be going on and just see, what makes sense about it. And if it's like, if you can't figure it out whatsoever, you're like, I am doing this, I'm not, I can't figure out what's going on. Go over to Ask Coaches and put that in Ask Coaches and tag me, and we'll dig in a little bit deeper. And also, I have my call this Sunday, Jen, if you want to come to that and I can coach you there. You're more than welcome. Sue, is Fairlife considered fat? How much can I drink? I love my milk. Fairlife is just like any other milk. It's just going to be it's processed, and so it's lactose free. And they add, it's more protein. So that's the Fairlife milk is one that I drink myself, and almond milk. Does it have fat in it? Yes. I mean, I get the 2%. The 2% is 2% fat. If you get whole milk, that's 4% fat. So know that it does have fat in it, but that doesn't necessarily make it bad. As far as how much you can drink, that is going to be, kind of figure it out for yourself. I wouldn't go drinking, half a gallon a day, but if you make that with your protein shakes and stuff like that, and then you use it, am I freezing? I'm sorry. Can someone give me an emoji? Oh, well. Okay. Sorry, I don't know what's going on. Okay, not freezing. Okay, good. But yeah, so I would just kind of see how it goes for your body. You're going to be the determinant of that. And I think it's a great protein source. I think it's a good fat source. Karen, in regard to resistant starch, does a product like Trader Joe's frozen brown rice have resistant starch since it was cooled after cooking? I don't know that one specifically, but if it was cooked and then it was cooled, it is a resistant starch. And for those that don't know what a resistant starch is, we talk about this. Yeah, look into the router. I hear you on that one, Laura. We talk about this in the carb part of Healthify. And basically, Starches are super cool in and of themselves. So when you heat them up, they almost bust. You've noticed rice when you heat it gets kind of gummy. That's the starch coming to the surface. It's coming out. And then when you cool that back down, it all shrinks back down into the we'll just say rice. So it shrinks back down. And then it acts differently. The way that the digestive enzymes in our stomach can't break through to it anymore. So it acts more like fiber, truthfully. So when you are getting your Trader Joe's frozen brown rice and it's been cooked and then cooled back down, it should have resistant starch in it because it's anytime, like you don't have to, say you're doing potatoes and you want a resistant starch in that. You can make your potatoes and cool it back down. You don't have to eat it cold again. You can heat it back up. Once you've done it that first time, it has already become resistant, excuse me. Great question. Is drinking whole Fairlife milk better than 1%? Again, that is, figure that out for yourself. I like the 2% myself. That's just what I like. It's going to give you that fat. So you're going to get the protein, the carb, and the fat, as opposed to like a skim milk is not going to have the fat in there. So a lot of the times when I'm using it, I'm making a protein shake or something like that, and I want it to be more of a meal. So again, the fat, granted, we can't see exactly how much fat is in the Fairlife milk, but I know that there's fat in there, and that is going to be, make my smoothie or whatever, more healthified because it's going to have all of that in there. What brand of methylated vitamin do you use? I should know that, and I don't. I will have to because I just switched. Matter of fact, the one that I was using, they quit making. I will look that up for you, and I will put that in Facebook. Okay, sorry about that, Jackie. I should know better, but like I said, I just switched. And someone else is asking the same thing. I will let y'all know in Facebook. Anonymous, I'm wondering if vegetable and canola oil are okay to use. I mostly use extra virgin olive oil, but when baking, I think it changes the taste a bit and prefer vegetable and canola. Would something different be better? All right. So, again, I am right there with you because I don't necessarily love baking with olive oil because I do think that it just makes it a little bit more dense. And granted, I'm not the world's best baker, but I don't see a problem with like canola oil or vegetable oil. I think it was canola oil. Again, this is going to be kind of you trying to figure out what works best for you. I don't want you restricting anything. Yes, there are oil fats better than other fats, but again, it depends on what you're baking. Like if you're baking cupcakes and that's going to be your 20%, Sue, it's okay. You're allowed to ask questions. Use whichever. Everything doesn't have to be 100% healthified is what I'm getting at. So just know that if you bake it and you use extra virgin olive oil and you don't like the way it tastes, and then the next time you switch it up and use canola and like it, then use canola when you bake. That's as simple as that. Olive oils do come in kind of different levels of taste. And someone said that she got like the extra light olive oil, and it doesn't have as much of that flavor. So that might be something if you're like, no, I want to stick with olive oil. Avocado oil works great. That's another one that's really good too. But just see. I mean, it's not. There's no necessarily one that I would be like, oh, do not. I don't like trans fats. I will say that, but I think that trying it and making it in a way that you enjoy it, because if you level it up too much and then you're like, oh, I don't even like the way this tastes. Well, you've pushed a little bit too hard and you've pushed past, and now it's not even enjoyable. So we want to kind of just make sure that we're not going overboard and leveling up and, still making stuff that we like to eat because that's what a well-fed woman does. All right, Annette, can you get too much vitamin D? How much should we be getting daily? Vitamin D is like a fat-soluble vitamin. So you can technically get too much, but I would say that you would have to be supplementing a whole lot to get too much because there are people that take vitamin D like once a week, and it's 50,000 units. So if you can imagine, granted, that's the prescription strength. But a lot of us are deficient in vitamin D now because, first of all, we don't get out in the sun as much, or we wear sunscreen. So vitamin D is what we get from the sun, and we're just not outside as much as we used to be. We've become more, I guess, industrialized. And so we stay indoors more, but it's something that so technically, yes, you can get too much of it. But if you're not supplementing and you're just eating food to get your vitamin D, you're probably not going to get too much. But like I said, there's a lot of people that do supplement with vitamin D. I take it twice a week. And I think that it just, I'm probably deficient in it. I know I had my lab work done, and it must not have popped up that it was, too bad because everything was normal. But I just like to make sure that I'm getting enough. And sometimes I don't eat a lot or drink a lot of dairy, and that's where you get a lot of the vitamin D if you're not getting it from the sun. So, but if you're eating like yogurt and if you are doing milk and stuff like that, it has vitamin D in it. So I wouldn't worry a whole lot about getting too much unless you are supplementing, and then you'll want to take it the way that either your doctor says or just one a day, or some people take it 3 times a week. So good question. Okay, Anonymous, what is the deal with cholesterol medicine in grapefruit? I'm newly on rosuvastatin for high cholesterol. Can I still eat grapefruit? There are no stickers on my RX bottle to say no grapefruit. Okay, so I've been asked that a lot as a pharmacist. And the whole reason this came about was because in the clinical trials for the statin medications, like rosuvastatin, there was a group that were on the grapefruit diet, and they were, do y'all remember the grapefruit diet? A lot of people did that, and they noticed that it affected the enzymes that help you break down statin medications. In noticing that, they had to report it, okay? Because in any clinical trial, when you notice something that affects, the absorption or anything with like the levels being higher than what you expected, or even the levels being lower than what you expected, it has to be reported. So it was, and it normally they should get that little sticker on there. But when it comes to, you would have to be eating a lot of grapefruit for it to really make a difference on that. And you're also on the lowest dose, the 5 milligrams. So a grapefruit every now and again is not gonna hurt you being on that whatsoever. If you were drinking like grapefruit juice, I would be a little bit more worried because you could just get more of that in there, and it probably could affect some of the levels of your medication. But a grapefruit every now and again is gonna be perfectly fine. Pam, liquid vitamin D or D3? That isn't that there's different types of D, okay? So you have D2 and D3, and they kind of, and then you've got just plain D, which sometimes is a combination. It's going to depend on your absorption. Like, so if you have had any type of gastric bypass or anything like that where you don't absorb vitamins that well, I will tell you to go liquid. The D3 and K2, Lori has asked that is a great combination. It just helps again with absorption because we can take stuff all day long, and if our body doesn't absorb it, it just passes on through. But I would say liquid if you have any type of, like I said, gastric bypass, or if you have any absorption problems. If not, you can take the capsule. I do like you to take it with a fatty that you're a fattier meal because it is going to be absorbed the best with that. Good question. Tammy, speaking of statins, do they really affect your memory? There's a lot going on with statins and what they're looking at now. Even with cholesterol, like what cholesterol level is healthy, and some of that information has changed. There are some studies that say statins actually help with memory because they reduce the plaques that, they see sometimes with different types of memory disorders. But there's mixed information on that, so I can't speak to one side or the other. If you are on a statin and you've noticed that your memory is kind of changing, or if you can't remember certain things, or you're struggling to find your keys or recall words or stuff like that, I definitely make mention of that to your doctor because it could be that. That's not to say that it's 100% is that, but that's something that I would want to look into, just because if something in your memory is changing and it's changing kind of all of a sudden, and you just started a statin, let's look into it a little bit more, okay? So make mention to that of that to your doctor. Mary, do statin cause weight gains? One doctor told me I need them. One doc told me I need them at one large medical system, the other at a big hospital system, did a heart scan and said I was okay not to take them. Again, that goes back to they're changing some of the guidelines on statin medications. And I would say your primary care doctor, or if you do have a cardiologist, I would refer back to the cardiologist. But I would just, ask them what they think is best. Like if one is saying yes and one is saying no, I would bring that up and say, hey, I went here and they told me I might need it. And then now you're saying I don't, but explain it to me a little bit more. What benefits is this going to give me versus do I need to start it now? So that's something I would definitely ask them. Darlene, if whole seeds go through, why do they put whole ones in bread besides that it looks pretty? We kind of talked about this last week about the flax seed and having to grind them up for them to be absorbed. Some seeds go through. And some kind of we do break down. But yes, I think some of it is for flavor and to look pretty. I don't think that it's always necessarily just for the benefits of the seed. So that's just a little, a caveat sometimes that they want to make breads and stuff like that look pretty. Another good thing is if you chew it up and you're chewing pretty good, you're going to chew up some of those seeds and that will make it more absorbable. All right. Lisa, I went down a social media rabbit hole. I've been there, of thyroid testing and the need to test for thyroid function deeper than a basic lab test. Is this something you could talk to us about, or maybe beyond the scope of this call? Okay. So I would take it to your doctor, but yes, I am more of a functional medicine approach. That's why I'm a functional nutritionist. And what that means is I help treat the patient, not just the numbers. With thyroid, this is a big deal because some people can be at a certain level of their thyroid stimulating hormone, a certain level of T3, a certain level of T4, and it looks quote unquote normal on paper, but they're feeling a certain way and they're tired, they're sluggish, they're whatever. So I would, if you're going to the doctor and they're kind of just like, yeah, your labs look good, and they're just kind of dismissing you. I would look into finding a functional medicine doctor. They're more and more available because there are different tests. It's not just THS, I mean, the thyroid stimulating hormone, T3 and T4. There's also, not to get too heavy into this, but like it's called reverse T3. And if you don't have that enzyme, or if it's not working properly, where you can go back and forth from T3 to T4, because that's like our storage form and our active form. And if you can't convert back and forth correctly, you're going to have a problem. And it may not show up in your numbers because they didn't measure that if you could do that. Like, so in a normal body. Like my thyroid is functioning normally. When I need more thyroid hormone, everything fires off. I get it from T4, I make my T3, I do whatever I need to do with it, and then if I have too much, it goes back to T4. If you can't do that, that's your problem. But you have to test for that. So I hope that answers it without going too deep. But if they're dismissing you, Lisa, I would probably look at either going to an endocrinologist, not just your primary care, or a functional medicine physician, because that they're going to get to the root of it. That test is it's reverse T3. So it's just the, like I said, it's the way that we store our thyroid hormone versus our active form, because our body is great at it, but if you don't have that, it's not so great at it. And that could show up in different ways. So, all right. Let's see, Mary, do hormone tests really tell us much information? I've heard because our hormones fluctuate, it is a test, just a snapshot, and won't tell us of our actual hormone levels. That is a good question. And yes, it is going to be a snapshot, but that's why I like to get a what we call a baseline level. So even if you're not in menopause yet, go ahead and get that baseline level. And you can kind of extrapolate from when you ovulated to what, because it is a cyclical in nature. So if you know, like when you ovulated, based on other different things, they can figure that out, even if you're not truly having a period. They can figure that out, and they look at the kind of the cycle that it should be and go from there. Or when you have one baseline test and you get it the next time, they can look at the difference. So that is just something. Some doctors won't even read hormones. I used to do that. I'm not as up on it anymore because some stuff has changed. But I do think it's worth getting those levels. If anything, you can get a baseline and then see how you feel at that level and go from there. Again, I'm going to treat like the patient, not necessarily the number. And it's just that, when I was feeling good, this was my level. Or when I was feeling really tired, this was my level. And then we go based on that. All right. Annette, I bruise so easily. Should I add something to my diet to help with this? It just depends. As we age, our skin gets thinner and we're naturally going to bruise more easily. That being said, there are a couple of things like if when you're eating and you're getting all of your vitamins and your nutrients and your micronutrients, you repair a lot quicker. So you may bruise, but the bruise is going to go away quicker because your body's repairing quicker. But know that some of that is just as we get older, our skin gets thinner. And when we push up against something, what may not have given us a bruise before causes a bruise now. So I wouldn't worry too much about it unless like you're just bruising and you don't remember doing anything. And if it's a large area, then maybe we need to look into something else just to see or talk to the doctor about, some medications that can actually cause you to bruise more easily and stuff like that. They do make something called Arnica gel, and they make tablets. Works great to kind of speed up that healing process. All right. Let's see. Some of the questions I'm not going to get to today, that's perfectly fine. Actually, I'm just going to kind of wrap up here because I only have a couple more minutes. If there's questions that I didn't answer, feel free to either hit me up and ask coaches and tag me. I don't mind doing that. The other coaches are there as well. And if you want additional, like one-on-one help with Healthify, if you want something that, you've noticed that doing Healthify that your emotional eating, you're starting to notice, you know what, I'm doing really well, but I am noticing a lot of emotional eating coming up and I need some help with that. That is what one-on-one coaching is all about. And I want you to reach out to either MJ or go to nobswomen.com under the private coaching and schedule a meeting with MJ just to talk it through because she is the one-on-one coach. Concierge, she will get you to the coach that she thinks is best for you and get you kind of moving in the right direction. Sometimes that individualized help is all that we need to kind of bump us to get us going a little bit further. And that is something that, give yourself that gift as well, because you are definitely, definitely worth it. Next week, though, we are starting and we are going over the plate method and all that involves, and we're going to put everything together. So come with your questions. Y'all did great today. I had a great time with y'all. Next week, it's the plate method and putting it all together. Same place, same time. I'll see y'all then. Take care, guys.